You're listening to an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
We take a look now here on RNIB Connect Radio into the life of one of the world's greatest singers, Italian blind opera and pop singer Andrea Bocelli. From humble beginnings to sold-out shows around the world, through an incredibly moving documentary film, Andrea Bocelli, Because I Believe, directed by Cosimo Spender, which will be in selective cinemas around the world from the 21st of September 2025. I'm delighted to say that Cosimo joins me now to tell me more about the making of Andrea Bocelli, Because I Believe, as he takes us on a journey through his life in his own words. Hello, Cosimo, and thank you so much for joining me here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you for having me. It's great to join you.
So firstly, Cosimo, how did the documentary film Andrea Bocelli, Because I Believe, come about? Was it your idea to follow his story through the sort of fly-on-the-wall documentary film, or did the idea come from Andrea himself?
No, neither of those, actually. I think it was someone in the production in LA, and they were looking for a director who he would feel at ease with, and he had insisted it would be an Italian speaking director, because he really cares about speaking clearly and he really cares about the Italian language and being able to express himself in his native language. Because although he's an international star and he's known all over the world, he still really feels attached to his roots, to Tuscany in particular. And luckily, a lot of very famous directors couldn't do it. They were too busy. And so they knocked on my door. And I'd made a film on the Palio quite a few years ago, and that had gone to the cinemas here in England. So I not only spoke Italian, but I come from Tuscany. I was born and brought up in Tuscany. So I speak with the same Tuscan local accent as Andrea and understand the dialect that people in that area of Italy speak. So we really got on well from the start. We shared a sense of humor, and I kind of got where he was coming from, because I went to the local schools till I was about 14 and then came to school in England. Yeah, I really enjoyed the experience, not only to celebrate him, but also the roots of where we both come from.
And through Because I Believe, we see Andrea preparing for a concert at Madison Square Gardens. There's a nice sort of, I suppose, mix of his home life as well and, you know, his working life and, I suppose, a nice balance there as well. Did that sort of balance of, I suppose, both sides of his life, was that something that you were thinking about when you were preparing and planning the film? Or did it just sort of, I suppose, come nicely into place during the sort of sessions in the editing suite?
No. We absolutely had to plan it, because he's so busy that he could only give us some allotted days here and there. And I decided to approach it over a long period of time to get a sense of 6 months in his life and following him at home, so that people could really get to understand what he was like, you know, behind the public face and what he was like in his home. He's a very open person, and him and Veronica were totally willing to open their doors a few days a month for 6 months, because the rest of the month they're traveling around, giving a lot of concerts and very, very busy. And every time we kind of got to know each other a bit more and he became more and more relaxed with having a crew around, Andrea, someone who's very much used to having the media ask him questions or do interviews. And I think, you know, even though he's done a few documentaries about him on the pilgrimage, for instance, he's done one called The Journey that came out a few years ago. But this time we were really concentrated in capturing him at home with his family and in the places that really mean something to him, like the house where his parents lived and his grandparents lived and where he still goes on horseback rides. And also with his friends, his childhood friends. I mean, he's very proud. We were doing some interviews yesterday and he said, I'm very proud of two things in my life. One is that I've got all my teeth in my mouth. And the other is that I still have all my childhood friends and I call them all my friends. And he sees himself very much supported by this network of old friends going back to the places that he grew up in, very attached to home.
And I think it sort of came across in the documentary about how much those sort of school friends, those close school friends that he's had since school, have maybe helped to keep him grounded.
Very much. You know, he could have easily had fame sweep him away in all sorts of universes, but he never really went out looking for fame. It kind of happened to him in his 30s. So I think he was already a very grounded person. He did have self-belief, and hence the film's title, and a strong faith. So he really had a faith in himself, really believed in his abilities. And he had this dream that he believed in, which was to support himself with his music. And even though his parents sent him to get a law degree and, you know, prepare himself to get a proper job, you know, they kind of all hoped his dream would come true. And it took a while. I mean, he was in his 30s when he was asked to be a stand-in for Pavarotti on a music track by Zucchero, a famous Italian pop singer. And it took a while, but then it all happened very quickly. But he remained grounded thanks to his friends, his childhood friends. And they're great, the friends. These are the friends who taught him at high school how to move in a natural way, like the other kids, and how to wear jeans in a comfortable, how to, you know, physically move around the world in a confident, natural way. And they're still there for him. I've heard that he took one of them, who's a pastry maker, to the White House to meet an American president. I mean, he really kind of surrounds himself with his friends. And Veronica, of course, who's a great manager and wife and mother to his daughter, Virginia.
How much of Andrea Bocelli's blindness did you want to portray in the documentary? As I think there are some great moments in the documentary that I think many of us as blind and partially sighted people would agree and relate to it, such as when Andrea and his father talk about him not wanting to be known or to become that poor blind boy.
That was his mother. She really wanted him to be confident within himself and not, you know, present himself primarily as a blind person. You know, she kind of pushed him to really believe in himself and celebrate all the gifts he'd been given, you know, with his voice and with his personality and his intelligence. He's a really educated person. He spent a lot of time reading books. He still does. I mean, I saw him just yesterday and he says, I make a point every day of learning a bit of Dante's Divine Comedy every day, and he started reciting Paradiso, you know, by Dante, which is written in ancient Tuscan, and he went on for about 7 minutes, and then he said, "Do you want to hear more?" I said, "No, that's okay." He's got an incredible memory, and he's someone who's determined to celebrate all the gifts he's been given. And I had been told that he doesn't really want to dwell on the fact that he can't see. So I didn't set up expressly to really explore that. I wanted to make the film something that he could really feel was his own. And that's why he recounts and he talks. Everything is, he's the one telling us the story of his life. And if he didn't want to talk about the accident he had or being partially sighted as a child, you know, I wasn't going to probe and you know, you don't want to put someone who's so celebrated in an uncomfortable position. But by the end of it, because we'd, you know, had a relationship going on for this past year, going there with a crew, and, you know, then he relaxed. And I'd asked his brother some questions about his childhood and what really the implications of his eyesight were on him as a child and, you know, all the trauma that went with it and the hospital visit. And then there was a section of the interview with the brother, which I put in the first edit. And when I showed him the film, he said, "My brother got it all wrong." I said, "Well, you know what? You better tell me the story." And he said, "Okay, I'll tell you the story." But he really is someone who wants to focus on the positives and celebrate what there is to be celebrated in life, human relationships, in his case, his incredible love for music. His household is a house where music is alive and it's part of life. His children are growing up singing the whole time and hearing incredible music. So he's living in this parallel universe, which is music. And it was a privilege to capture that. And it was a lesson not to take things for granted and to really explore things which are open to you and, you know, really focus on all that rather than what you can't access or what you can't explore.
And I think there's a great quote which he says that his opera is his heart and pop music is his legs. And I think that really sort of sums him up as a person and as a character as well.
Absolutely, because he started off loving opera. And of course, it was quite an anachronistic love as a teenager in the middle of the Tuscan countryside where people were listening to pop the whole time. And so I think he was determined. He really is a sociable person. He loves company. And so when he met this group of friends at high school, when he was back, and because he was sent off to a boarding school, which could provide him with, you know, an education as a blind person. And when he came back home for high school, he decided he was going to really integrate himself in the local community. And although he had friends in his village and everything, at high school, he kind of expanded his group of friends. And so he started to, you know, he was there trying to push them to listen to opera. And these kids would just not listen to opera. They were like, this is just terrible, these people shrieking and yelling. And they pushed him to really embrace opera and pop. And so he did. He started exploring pop through his teenage friends and started making music with them. And that's how his versatility came about. And he is versatile. He feels at home in both opera and pop. But pop has been a means to support himself. And he does like his pop songs. And of course, he sings these beautiful duets and a lot of incredible love songs. But opera is his soul. I feel that. And he really made a point that in this documentary, we were going to portray that love, you know, that he has for opera. And he almost sees it as his duty to try and bring opera to a larger audience and to introduce maybe to his fans of pop even a love for opera.
And I think that comes across. I mean, and also he talks early on about the gift of musicality, which is something which obviously he has, but also talking about, you know, if you've got that gift, to share that gift, if you, you know, become an entertainer, you know, entertain people, pass on that love of music. And also, I think there was something about treating people as you would like to be treated yourself. And those are possibly two messages that come out of the documentary about, you know, if you've got a gift and you're able to entertain people, then do it. And also about treating people the way you would like to be treated yourself.
Yeah, very much. I mean, he's a man of faith in the best possible way, as in he really thinks if you live with strong values and with a peaceful attitude and really presenting the best version of yourself and being honest and generous and kind with the people around you, especially, and your community particularly, but also as many people as you can. And it was infectious, you know, as a film crew, and to be there and to see that this is really who he is. It's not just a facade that he's presenting to the world. I mean, we were there for like 5 days every month for 6 months. And he was really kind to all of us and open. And yes, he has these moments where like, I'd rather be playing chess than doing something with you guys. But actually, whatever we did, he really put his heart in it. So it was great to be around him, very positive energy.
I think that really comes across. And, you know, it's also about that thing. I think sometimes when you're sort of seeing a singer who becomes famous and as well known as Andrea, that you don't necessarily understand or realise how that person got there. And I think within the documentary, we do see, or he tells us about his life and have been that piano man in the bars working really hard and getting his first break. And I think that's something that we don't necessarily normally sort of know or understand about somebody's life. And I think that this documentary really sort of gave us that insight into his, I suppose, his life as a singer.
Yes. And what are the chances of a country boy from the middle of Tuscany, the parents are selling tractors and tractor bits in the local shop. It's a very kind of rural area. What are the chances of that person becoming an international pop star and opera singer? I mean, there are very slim chances. And a blind person. I mean, it's extraordinary. You know, it really is kind of mythic and epic in an old-fashioned sense of the word. You never could have imagined that he would have reached an audience like he has done.
And what does Andrea and his family think about your documentary film about his life?
Well, I think, you know, I promised him when I met him, I said, look, I'm going to make it as interesting from a sound point of view as a visual. He said, well, you better, because I won't be enjoying the visuals, so I better enjoy the sound. So we put a lot of care in the sounds as well as the images, of course. And I think he is happy that he feels it's his. And that was my ambition. You know, my ambition was to kind of, although I spent a long time editing and really gleaning his words and creating an atmosphere for those words, I really wanted him to feel authorship in the sense of a reflection of himself. And I think he is happy with it. And I tell you, it was a joy to work on, partially. And I've made quite a lot of documentaries. I've been making them for 20 years. And often, and you probably know this by doing radio interviews, a lot of people, when they speak, they have ums and ahs and they repeat words or they don't feel comfortable or they have to start their sentences again. With Andrea, I mean, it was just one take and each phrase was a perfectly constructed phrase with no ums, no ahs, nothing, beautiful sounding voice, clear as, you know, the clearest voice I've ever heard, really. And in that sense, from really a sound point of view, it was a joy. And also all these tracks and this fantastic music. So it was a privilege and a joy.
That's a great quote at the end of the documentary that Andrea says. And it's, when you believe everything you thought was impossible comes within reach. There's nothing impossible in this world. Is that sort of a quote that you would like people to come away with after seeing Because I Believe?
Definitely. It's an inspirational documentary that should make the spectator celebrate life and be hopeful and have a sense of self-belief and make you believe in your own dreams. It's a quote from Goethe, and he really believes this quote.
Well, Cosima, thank you so much indeed for chatting with me here on RNIB Connect Radio and telling me more about your documentary film, Andrea Bocelli, Because I Believe.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
For more interviews, features and shows, go to your favourite podcast provider and search for RNIB Connect Radio.